Every edition of the Jefferson Exchange, our second hour, ends with the broadcast of a new edition of As It Was, a history segment that is itself part of the region's history. There are lots of great stories in the past of our parts of Oregon and California. Too many to fit in a single book, it would seem. Our guest this hour has written a number of books about regional history, but he departs from the hardcover treatment with his latest project. Dennis Powers is on CD this time, just like a rock star, Dennis.
I don't know about the rock star, because I never look backwards, Jeff, because it might be gaining on me. But on the other hand, this place in Southern Oregon is such a wonderful place to be. We can take it for granted. But when I retired about 5 years ago from Southern Oregon University, I was saying, well, what can I do now? What other trouble can I get into? And the next thing I knew, I was talking to Kernan Turner, and Kernan said, hey, we'd like to have some writers here for As It Was. And I said, hey, that sounds good, so let's do it. And I've done like 175 different scripts for JPR. Jeff, what I love so much is that Shirley Patton is such a capable, wonderful person. And
she's the voice of As It Was.
She is the voice of As It Was, and she does such a wonderful job. And then the next thing I knew is that I was doing other history projects. And you know, the reason is there's two things. One is the fact that Southern Oregon has been really good to Judy and I. You know, it just has been a wonderful place. And when we came here, everything was new. And the next thing I knew is the fact that all the towns, you know, Grants Pass to Ashland, and, you know, going ahead from Eagle Point north and south, the theaters, you know, Oregon Shakespearean Festival, the Camelot, the nonprofits, all these different things were just new, exciting, and interesting. So I always kind of kept up with them or tried to go to a show or go ahead and visit Dogs for the Deaf, for example. And then about, 2 years ago, I was talking to Bill Meyer at KMED. He says, you know, we could do some history here, too. So I went ahead and started doing just a history radio program on that.
You two-timer.
Hey, got it. But you know what it is? I'm bilingual. And not only that,
you can speak commercial and non-commercial radio.
That's right. And, you know, actually what it is I am a registered independent politically. And what's so amazing is that I've done actually the same shows on both with you on Jefferson Exchange, which I love. I really do, because this is old homecoming for me, as I do in others. And I do a lot of other radio work, too.
Your original career was something other than history, though, is that right?
Good point. Good one. In a prior life, I was an attorney at law. And then I saw the light, and I decided there must be something else other than being in court and looking at a person and saying, you know, Ed, what happened to that evidence, opposing counsel? Mm-hmm. And having the judge smile down benignly and say, okay, Ed, where is it? Well, it just was lost. So anyway, I took over from Dick Cottle, who is an old-time business law attorney here, and just really enjoyed it. So that was in the early 90s and all the way to 2005. But I will share one other story that just to let you know that we're really into telling you all. And for those of you at the School of Business, here's where I would disappear at times at a faculty meeting. A faculty meeting would come up, and I'd excuse myself. I'd go upstairs to the English department and read poetry. I'd come back down, and they'd say, well, how was it? Was it important? Oh, it was very, very important. So, you know, writing poetry for Westwind Review, short stories, magazines, and I quickly had found the calling that really I'd wanted to all the time.
So this is your after career became your real, your vocation.
And you know, it was, devotional. Jeff, it was. It was going all the way back. And so for people who are interested in living your dream, you know, you have to pay the bills, but always keep that living your dream in mind when you're doing it.
So there's the appeal of the written word as either prose or poetry for you, but the subject matter, history, what led to the fascination?
That's a great question. What happened was, it was really a philosophical thing. You know, eureka. I see the light. What it was is that I looked at what could I do in retirement to volunteer. So, as a matter of fact, I was volunteering. I was on different boards, you know, the Ashland Community Hospital Foundation, the YMCA board, things like this. And I was volunteering at the tea dances and these other things. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, I could go ahead and volunteer my writing. Because every one of us, every one of your listeners has a real skill that they can develop. And the one thing that I had was I could go ahead and word process. So I then, about 4 years ago, came up and totally designed an Images of America book on Gold Hill and assigned all the royalties to the Gold Hill Historical Society.
Is this the Arcadia Publishing outfit?
This is the Arcadia. They do a wonderful job. Wonderful books on Ashland Wineries. There's a lot of really good things.
There's a Medford
things.
Book, a talent book, I'm sure.
All of them, yeah. And Little Gold Hill was just out in the cold, was an orphan. So, but what was good, though, is on this Historical Society, they needed a little financial help. And it's all run by wonderful ladies in their late 70s and early 80s. And so I went ahead, and I just enjoyed it and loved it. And then at the same time, I was writing for As It Was.
We've had you on here several times to talk about your books, and they're on varying subjects. You seem to drift toward the nautical theme just a bit. Last time I think we had you in here was to talk about, was to talk about the St. George Light offshore.
That's
from
right.
Crescent City.
The St. George Lighthouse.
Still sticks with me.
Yeah, that was a fun time. That was a fun show that we did. The other thing is, this is the 50th anniversary of the tsunami that cruised through Crescent City.
Oh, that's right, 1964.
And so they're having a supplement. So I was working with Richard Wines, who is the new editor or the publisher. They had a wonderful, wonderful gal, Michelle Thomas, who is the publisher of the Del Norte Triplicate then. So anyway, they're doing a real supplement. So the tsunami is really unbelievable because they've never had such destruction ever on the continental United States. And the way that those people, went ahead and were able to overcome that type of disaster, to me, is still an amazing story.
Dennis Powers is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Can we call you an amateur historian? History writer, let's put it that way.
Oh, actually, I'm used to being called a lot of things. So.
All right, we'll start there.
But I would just say that I'm a writer who has been very fortunate, loves Southern Oregon, and on this CD, really quickly, it's 175 different articles, but they're much broader. There's a niche where, As It Was, we have to be very concise for a 200-word limit. These are more around 1,250 words on it. It goes into a lot of things from natural history all the way to the theaters. It goes in terms of the nonprofits from the Schneider Foundation all the way to the Carpenter. And I would actually have people going ahead, Jeff, and reviewing it. I mean, for example, I had Livia Janice who went ahead and reviewed the Camelot, and that was a wonderful experience there. Sid DeBoer on Lithia.
So the pieces that pertain to
all the pieces,
yeah.
That, so it's one of those things where I wanted to put down, technologically wise, Ryan Mallory donated his programming time, and he was a student of mine.
Huh.
And he's done a great job in terms of as an independent software designer, website designer. So we both donated our time, and make a long story short, I probably put in about 1,750 hours in that project over the last year and a half. And I'm so happy that the nonprofits were able to use it, but I'll tell one other quick story. John Laughlin, and John, I hope you're listening. John Laughlin, who is the dean of the School of Business at SOU for many years and just retired, used to have a saying that when you grab a hold of a tiger's tail, you can't let go. And Jeff, I couldn't let go of this one. But now the nonprofits are the beneficiary, all the royalties and such, and all the money goes to the nonprofits.
So how people understand, I mean, what's actually on the CD? This is not you singing, okay? This is not like the greatest duets of Dennis Powers and Taylor Swift or something.
Yeah, well, since my voice changed, I haven't been doing that too well. But to be honest with you, it's the subjects are written. And so if anyone has any interest as to taking from Mount McLaughlin to Mount Shasta, UFOs, we have UFOs on there. We have a lot of different types of things in terms of Southern Oregon. We have, different things. I'll just kind of mention them. We have the Fosbury Flop with Dick Fosbury. We have the Hanley's and Hanley Farm. Hollywood Comes to the Valley. We have even Kids Unlimited, which I really, really enjoyed because I worked with Tom Cole on that, and he did a great job on it. Had some of the researchers at the Southern Oregon Historical Society that went ahead and reviewed everything from Bozo the Clown to the D'Autremont brothers.
Mm-hmm. Bozo the Clown, Pinto Colvig from Jacksonville.
Pinto Colvig, mm-hmm. Yeah, we have some wonderful people that are spending the time there. So that's where the genesis came from. And the other thing, my friend, is we wanted to bring in the younger generation. And the way to do that, and that's why I went to a CD and not a book.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much longer. There's a niche there. But the other reason is that when they go to the sources, they can automatically go right into the internet, see the visual pictures, the images of these various subjects, and the backup, and they can do further research on it.
So there are links. You can link through the CDs.
You can link to the CDs, yeah.
Right. So 175 stories is it all together?
175 different stories. And you see, I had such a wealth of information, not only from the smaller pieces I did for JPR and the longer pieces I did for KMED. And then I had people signing off. You know, Rob Esterlein, Southern Oregon Historical Society, said, "This is great." So they have the greatest inventory there that they're selling. And so they're selling it, Jeff, for $12.99, and all the proceeds go to them. I put the production money up, donated the time. Ryan Mallory donated his time. The CD then was donated to Dogs for the Deaf, hospice here in Ashland, retirement homes, libraries with Amy Blossom.
It sounds like you're not making any money off of this.
No, not at all. Yeah. And, you know, it really feels good. I have to share that. What really tugged at my heart was just a few days ago, and a person I really didn't know came up and said, "Dennis, I bought that CD." And I said, "Really?" And they said, "Yeah, I bought it at hospice." Hmm. And that just, I said, "Thank you." I said, "That makes my day." And it did.
So how many have sold so far? And it sounds like you have a whole bunch of different nonprofits that just stand to gain from the donations.
We did some $15,000 of value. At 750, they're all gone. I have four left. Southern Oregon Historical.
You counted the one you just put in front of me.
The one I just gave you to help you. If you ever want to, in terms of your guests, you can go right in and to see what the background would be of a certain entity here in Southern Oregon. And I really enjoyed it with dogs. And these would be anywhere from 25 to 50 that went to each one.
Mm-hmm. And how did you decide what to include here? Because, I mean, the subject matter is so wide and varied, and yet you probably still had to reduce a little bit to get to 175.
I did. And where I was lucky, though, was that with all the work that was done in past historical pieces, I had an inventory of areas. And so the bottom line was that there are certain things that just stand out. The Ochman Brothers in terms of the tunnel. The Oregon Shakespearean Festival. The Oregon Shakespearean Festival. Dogs for the Deaf. Kids Unlimited. I mean, there's ones that just stand out. And then, of course, being a longtime subscriber and a listener also to Jeffrey Exchange, there's a lot of different areas that come in.
Is there one quintessential Southern Oregon story for you, one story that best exemplifies the region that just comes right to top of mind?
It just so happens.
Whoops, reaching for the cards.
But actually what I'm going to do is here's a question for your listeners, okay? Question is was the first municipal airport in all of Oregon located in Medford? And where was it? And was it Portland? Was it Eugene? Medford? It turned out it was Medford, 1922, and it was located inside a racetrack, Fairgrounds racetrack.
Where the South Fred Meyer is now?
That's right, right where they're supposed to have a plaque.
And don't, yeah.
Uh-huh. But what was so funny about it, the reason why we have our present airport was because those flying in their biplanes, with their one passenger, because you know they'd be wearing the goggles. Like Snoopy, uh-huh. And you'd have one sitting on a mailbag in front, and then the pilot in back, and trying to radio to see what the weather was like so they could see it. But the problem is they might clip a horse or two, or maybe even come close to a car that was racing around. So the good people of this area went ahead and had a $125,000 bond issue, bought about 288 acres of land over to where the present airport is, and that started it off. And they even had a gun club in the original airport where it is off of Biddle.
You know, it's interesting the places that choose to display historical memorabilia, though, because honest to goodness, at the North Burger King on Crater Lake Highway in Medford, there are pictures of the airport because you can see the existing airport from there and the old ones as well. Both Fred Meyers, I think, have historical pictures as well.
That's right. That's right. And I like, for example, going to Omar's. I love seeing and of course at the public library. Because you go all these different things. Of course, you know, they have Guanajuato down there in their rooms. But yeah, all these pictures are just really great. Do you have time for one more?
Well, not really. But
not really?
I want to ask you this much. If people do want to get a copy of this, and the CD is called Past and Present, What You Might Not Know But Want to About Southern Oregon History, 175 Different Stories, can they still obtain copies of this, or is it best just to go to the library?
Oh, actually, that's a great question, because the library, Ashton Public Library, is still selling them, because we had some good inventory that went there. Dogs for the Deaf, they have inventory there. Southern Oregon Historical Society in Medford, they do. You have a hospice in Ashland. And, you know, we're looking like we're going to a second run on this. And I'm just really glad to have had the opportunity to say thank you to Southern Oregon and Jefferson Exchange and all the good folks that I've gotten to know all the years here. This has been a great place for us.
Well, thanks for cranking out the history tales over the years. It's always been a pleasure to have you on here, Dennis Powers. The CD is called Past and Present, What You Might Not Know But Want to About Southern Oregon History. Dennis, thanks again so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Jeff.
Bottom of the hour here on the Exchange. Here's Garrison Keillor.